sinners like us, didn't he? While I was ungodly, Christ died for me. While I was without hope, he died for me. While I was a sinner, he died for me. While I was without strength, he died for me. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Get reading verse number 14. Reading by what he said about the Laodicea church. Revelation 3:14 says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold, no, it says, neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I spew thee out of my mouth. Because I sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, nor thine eyes with thy say that thou mayest see. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I will also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Would you pray with us? Our Father, we just pause to say thank you for the opportunity just to read your blessed word, and I ask you to speak to us through it. I pray that you, Lord, speak every word, that every word that's uttered here this morning, I pray you come from thee. And our Father, I pray you take it and let it apply to our hearts, that we may receive it as your eternal word from your blessed word, your holy word. What a wonderful thing that you've done for us. Wonderful salvation that you brought out for us in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you notice in this book of Revelation, you got seven letters to seven churches, where this is the one to the last one. Not only was there churches in their time and era when they were established and going, but also they represent different periods even in time of the church. Now I believe we're in this last one, which you call the Laodicean church. And he says in here, we need to take heed, hear what God is saying. It's, I'll tell you, we really do. And I want to begin reading in verse number 15. Said, I know thy works. I ain't neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. There's one thing about it, God knows our works. We don't work for salvation, but we work because of salvation. He knows what we're doing for him. He knows what we're not doing for him. And therefore, we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But if you notice here in this verses, he said, I know your works. God knows everything that we're doing. He's got an all-seeing eye, an all-hearing ear. He knows everything we're doing for him, everything we're doing for ourselves. He knows what we put in first and what we put in second and third and last and everything else. But he said, I know thy works. He said, I'm going to tell you something about what I know. He said, I know that you're not cold and you're not hot. But he said you're lukewarm. And you know what? God don't like that lukewarmness. You know what he wants us to be? He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants the church to be on fire. He wants to be full of his power and his fire and full of his works, to proclaim in the gospel and witnessing to people and testifying to people and working in the things of God. You say, well, I got to work. I do too, but I want to tell you something. How? But I'm telling you, while you're at regular work, I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can still be a light for God. You can still be on fire for God. You can still be a lighthouse in this dark world. I want to tell you something. People are not normally going to come to your house to see a light. You're going to have to be a light. A lot of them are not going to come to this house to see a light of God and see the fire of God. But I want to tell you something. If they can see it in us, that we can be that light and fire for God, then we can be what God wants us to be and be on fire for him. Hallelujah. It sort of reminds me in the Old Testament. You know what old Jeremiah said? He said, I forgot what chapter it is. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm weary in this thing. He'd been telling them what God was saying. And he'd been telling them what was in his heart. That the word of God was in his heart. And he said, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to quit this. But you know what the Bible says? He couldn't do it. Because the Bible said the word of God was in his fire, in his bones, in his heart. Like a burning fire. And the word of God was in him so strong. He couldn't help but tell it. He couldn't help but just listen to announce what God said to him, what he was supposed to be doing. Yes, I'm telling you, we need some more Jeremiahs. Thank God. We need some more of them. You know what old John the Baptist said? In about the third chapter of the book of Matthew, you know what he said? He said, I come baptizing with water and repentance. But said, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I am, whose shoes... I'm not even worthy to listen to her. But you know what he said? He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need some old time fire of the word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost upon us in this hour. Thank God we need it. In fact, he already said a word, that lukewarmness. You know what he's saying? You know what he's talking about, I believe, when he said, spew you out of your mouth. You know what? God's word is spoken. And listen, if we lukewarm, listen, his fire and his word, listen, it's spewing out of his mouth. What we say won't accomplish anything. You know what? This word, apart from the Spirit of God, it takes the Spirit of God in the mouth of Jesus Christ to listen, to do what it needs to do. This is God's word. But you know what? If the Spirit of God don't take this word, take the written word. I'm telling you, it takes a written word to know what the word says, but it takes the word of God, the word God himself, to make it alive and be a fire. That's the same way with us.
Hey.
And you know what? If God's not speaking, hey, if we lukewarm and he spews us out of his mouth, that means that he is not his word. He's not accomplishing what he could accomplish because we lukewarm.
Tell you something. I guess the Lord's been dealing with me this for a few days, but I was yesterday went to, you know, we have pretty good birthday parties pretty often. We got a bunch of little ones, you know. And one of them said, you like apple cider? I said, yeah, I like it.
And so they brought me some. I said, well, I'll get you some. Okay, they brought down and it was hot. And boy, it was good when it was hot. I had a while. Boy, I drank all of them, just shipping them. First thing I noticed, it got a little warm. Well, guess what I did with it? I didn't want to go warm it up. I had a little bit left, but they had some tin in the glass. Had some ice left in it. Well, after a little, it cooled off. Maybe it got a little bit lukewarmer. I poured it in that ice.
And I'm going to tell you something. It was good cold and it was good hot. But in between, it's just like tea. If you like tea, you're going to drink it one way or the other way. I want just as cold as you can get it or just as hot as you can stand to drink it. What God's saying to us, he's tired of his lukewarmness. He's tired of his profession business. Either get in, he's saying either get in or get out. That's what he's saying. We need to get in. And you know what I want to do? I want to get in and enter and enter and enter. Amen. Get a little closer. Get a little closer to him. Get the fire of God burning. Hallelujah. And so listen, we got a lot to praise him for. We got a lot to thank him for. And so listen, we did get the burning for God. You get the burning for God. This is because I want to look at a few moments, just a few moments now, when he says that what they said. And also about the counsel of God, counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 17. He said, because thou sayest, I'm rich. Now this city of where this church was in this day and hour that was there, it was a rich place. They had a lot of riches there for the time and age that it was. But just I won't tell you where true riches is. They said, we are rich. But that ain't what Jesus said. They said they were rich, but he said they were poor. They said we are rich. And they said something else. They said, neither. He said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what he said. He said, don't have need of anything. We rich. Our goods is increased. We just fine. That ain't what God said. Let me tell you something. You can be rich. You can be a billionaire, a millionaire. And he can still call you poor. Abraham was rich. Nothing wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of it. That's the love of money is the root of all evil. But they said, we rich. We got everything we need. We got everything in our faith. You know what's wrong with America? She don't think she needs God. We rich. Probably, old Sam is probably the richest nation in the world. We want people, we want 20 trillion in debt. He said, we're rich. They don't have need of it. Our goods has been increased. Someone said, well, sure was. Lord bless me, riches. Well, he might say, well, I can't. He could trust you with them. He could trust me with them. But he said, thou art rich. But he said something. Increase the goods and have need of nothing. But they did. They said, thou knowest not. They didn't know. They honestly thought they was okay. They didn't know what he's saying. Thou knowest not. He said, increase with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Said, you don't even know it. Don't even realize you're wretched. And said, you don't even realize you're miserable. I'll tell you something. Things of this world won't bring joy and peace. And listen, that real joy, peace, and happiness, it will not do it. You know why they were what they were? Miserable. Miserable. You know why they're miserable? They see things fading away in this world. They see people dying, leaving everything they got behind. You know why they're miserable? They don't have no hope. No hope. He said, if we have hope in this life only in Christ, we are most men miserable. He even said, hope in Christ in this life. We are most men miserable. But I want to thank God we don't have hope only in this life. Hallelujah. They were miserable. Probably did some of them didn't even know it. What was wrong with them? But Jesus said, you miserable, you poor, you
wretchedness and you miserableness, and they didn't even know it.
What was wrong? What was going on? And said, "You poor."
Now listen. He's telling us how they was. He says, "There's you can be rich, but not rich, and you can be poor in the things of God." You see, it's two different things: physically, financially, physically in this world, and then spiritually, in the spirit world, and the things of God.
You know, some of the greatest riches you can leave behind for the heritage for your children: a godly life you walk before them, a testimony God's grace is sufficient,
and a testimony God will meet every need, and God will supply your need, and God will give you grace and guide you through this life and live for God. Greatest testimony you can give your kids while they're still home is to lead them in the ways of God. That's better than anything you could leave them when you leave this world. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. I was
reading, I forgot where it was the other day, and there was this real
man that said he was an atheist, didn't believe in God, never lived for God. And God gave this man wisdom how to get to it. You know what he told him? He said, "Tell me about your mother. Tell me about your mama." "Oh," he said, "I had a godly mama." He started, kept talking to her. He was trying to get him to come to church, but he wouldn't even come in. Never do it. Never go. Guess what? Before the preacher left that place that day, you know what he told him? I didn't know get all the rest of it. But you know what he told him? He said, "Preacher, I'll see you next time you'll meet." You know why? He kept talking to him about his mama. His mama loved God. His mama prayed for him. His mama. Hey, and God used that to get hold of his heart. That's the most important thing
you can leave behind. Hallelujah. I wouldn't take anything. For knowing I had a godly mama and a godly daddy. There's no substitute for it.
Emily was telling me when I was eating with her one day at dinner. She said, her grandmother is coming, a lot of them off the bus just getting, since she's not working, I'm coming to her house. And I saw them in the yard, boy, they getting going, running, hollering, and having a time. Bus dropped them off. But I'm going to tell you something. Bless my heart now. Didn't surprise me.
She said, "But we having a time reading in the scriptures and reading Bible stories." You can't improve on that. No way.
I said something to someone the other day about how they're restraining, trying to restrain the Word of God from our schools. And they're trying to, but somebody said, "Well, they're about as restrained as you'll let them."
Get all in them you can, teachers. Get the Word of God in them. Ain't nothing else. Listen, it's better than anything I know to get in hiding in their hearts. So listen, we can be like them Laodiceans. But I will tell you what I want to be. Whatever we have or don't have, I want to be rich toward God. Hallelujah. I want to be rich toward God. And he said, "You're miserable, you're poor, and you're blind."
Looking blind. Can't see. You know, the first thing God needs to show people, don't matter if they go to church or don't go to church. You know what the first thing God needs to show us? If we're going to get our eyes open, but we blind to it. We're nothing but an old wretched sinner. And if you're saved, you're nothing but one saved by the grace of God. And if you haven't been saved, God will save you. But the first thing you got to get your eyes open to is the fact that, listen, that you are a sinner. The second thing you need to see is that God saves sinners. Hallelujah. So we need our eyes open. He said the blind can't see.
Why was it lukewarm? Why was it less than lukewarm? Why weren't they on fire for God? Their eyes needed open. Blind to the things. A lot of times we blind to a lot of things going on around about us. We blind to what day and hour we're living in. We blind to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some eyes saved put on them where we can see.
See. We can see. He said, Lord, poor, blind, and naked.
Now, did he mean he was going around streaking? No. You know what he meant? He wasn't talking about him going around physically naked. But they were naked because they weren't clothed. Some of them in the Laodicean church did not have clothes. And the clothes. But he said, you just please get down there in a minute. He said, you're naked, not robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Or was it one of them went in there and didn't have a robe on in that one in parables, Brother Donnie? Didn't work neither, did it? They ain't going to work at the judgment. They ain't going to work when it's all over either.
No way.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever think that you can muster up enough righteousness to stand before an holy God in your own righteousness. You'll stand there naked before God. Got to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we got to have. So he said blind and naked. I like what he says now.
That's what they said. We're saying, but then here's what he said. Jesus says, he said, I counsel thee. He said, I want to counsel with you. He didn't command them. He didn't even say one condemning them. He said, I want to counsel with you. I want to talk to you. I want to share something with you. I want to just counsel with you.
What do you want to counsel with? Look what he said. The buy of me. Buy of me. You said, I didn't think you had to buy it. Well, you can buy it with that money. I said, is it 55? I said, come. Buy without. They said, you can come buy wine. You can come buy milk and honey. You can buy it without money. Come on, he said. Either the thirsty, you can buy it without money, he said.
He said, come by me. But the secret of it is, it's of him.
I pondered and pondered and I was trying to figure out why he said by it there. You know why I figured, I really.
Take it or leave it. But I really believe he's saying to us, you're going to have to do business with me. You're going to have to do business with me. You buy something from somebody you're doing business with. And Jesus is saying, come on. Buy me. Me. Not somebody else. Not your own self. No, no. Not an angel. But come to me, he said, and buy me. And listen, you can do it without money. You know what's going to cost you? Just yourself. It costs you your sin.
If you think you can willingly hold on to your sin, or I can willingly hold on to my sin, I'm going to tell you something. He'll never forgive it until we turn it loose and confess it. But he will then. And hallelujah.
We can be set free.
Thank God there's freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come by me. Come on by of me. Hallelujah. I read over that means three or four times. And it dawned on me. I read slow, but sometimes I try to slow down from that. come by of me. Nobody else can get it to you. Nobody else can let you have it. It says gold tried in the fire. Come by me, gold that's tried in the fire. Hallelujah. Hey, gold's the most precious metal there are. And you know why? It'll stand in the fire. Something looks like gold, it'll stand in the heat. I'm going to tell you something. If you get this thing we're talking about this morning, if you get it, you get this salvation that's in him, it's like gold. It'll stand the test. It'll stand the trial. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, it'll set us afire in a flame for God. Try me gold. It said, test. It said, gold, try it in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You want to be rich? Buy something from the Lord. He said, you'll be rich. Buy me, he said. Gold tried in the fire. You're talking about rich. You know what? If you got him this morning, you rich. You're richer than the richest person in this world, naturally speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got an inheritance that's reserved and kept by the power of God in heaven for you, like there's nothing in this world to compare it to. If you come to Christ, you can be rich. You know, I've thought about it a lot of times. If we spend as much time with him, realizing what he's done for us, and in his presence, coming to him, as he said, hey, we'd enjoy those riches beyond measure and in abundance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come, he says, buy me, and says you'll be rich. Now, not all he said, and he says, and white raiment. Hallelujah. Thou mayest be clothed. Hey, you won't be found naked, spiritually speaking, no more. Glory to God. But you be clothed in that white raiment, which is none other than the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, before you get out of here this morning, you know what? I hope and pray God's going to set us afire. You don't know how to leave him miserable. You don't know how to leave him cold or lukewarm. But you leave him on fire for God. Hallelujah. You can get a hold of what this scripture is saying to us. He says, clothe that you mayest, it said, white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That's got to take care of that. Then he said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Hallelujah. Now, normal eye salve, not going to, if a blind person blind, not going to, it can help if a person can see. But this kind of eye salve for the blind, well, they can see. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I'm not boasting and bragging. I'm giving God all the glory. Honestly, I thought I had some new eyes. I'm not talking about physical. I can't believe it. I mean, I cared nothing about that book. But all of a sudden, I had eyes for it. All of a sudden, when he opened my eyes, and that eyesight that I could see, opened my blinded eyes, glory to God. I could see. Now, once in a while, I need to get a little eye salve put on. He needs to refresh up my view and refresh up my sight when it gets dim with the things of this world. But God, in his grace,
When I get a little lukewarm, he can fire me back up by the power of his word and the eyesight and the glory and the grace and the goal that he's given me in his word. Hallelujah. He can fire me back up.
Hallelujah. Talking to someone last night, they come up to me after I went to another viewing at the funeral. And
our preachers left. I wish you could come preach for us one Sunday. I said, well, I'm pretty well tied up on Sundays. He started talking about it. Something God already laid on my heart. He said, we'd like to see a little bit of fire. A little bit of enthusiasm. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God done enough for us to excite us, to get us excited at what he's given us, that goal, what he's done for us. All these things that he said he'd do for us, make us reach. I can assure you, if you ever watched any of those programs on the TV where they win money, and some of them become rich. Some of them win millions in the lottery. I never seen one that won that. But I've seen a few of those that won several $1,000s on some of those shows. Spinning the wheel, whatever it was. Oh, come on, you've seen it. Have you ever seen them when they won anything? Huh? I've seen them jump up and down and shout. And sometimes you ever seen them pull the curtain back on a new vehicle? Woo! They all of a sudden instantly almost made rich, physically speaking. Why shouldn't we? Come on now. Why shouldn't we? That's got riches beyond any riches of this world. Be excited. Be thrilled. Be praising God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, our lukewarmness and our deadness is killing us. Y'all been dealing with me for a little while preaching this, and I said, oh, I don't know.
Just hem me up. We need to get excited for God. On fire for God. Hallelujah. On fire.
So he said, anoint thy eyes, say this. Now notice what he said in verse 19. As many as I love. I'm going to tell you what God does to us because he loves us. He said, I love, I'll rebuke you. And chasten me. He said, be zealous therefore and repent. I'll tell you something this morning. There's not a one of us in here. We may think it. We might not admit it. But I'm going to tell you something. Not a one of us here don't need to pay attention to that right there. Be zealous and repent. Now I want to say I'm the first one. I want to repent of my lukewarmness. Pray that God would set me aflame in a fire. Hallelujah.
Once in a while I run into somebody and say, remember when y'all was preaching on the streets?
You know what? It ain't been too many weeks or months ago. I saw somebody right here in town on Sunday and I preaching on the streets. Sort of burned a little in him. You know what? I pray. We might get so excited. So on fire for God that we couldn't even contain it. Even here in the house of God, we'd have to take it back to the streets, back to other places, and try to get the word of God, listen, into the hearts and lives. On fire. On fire. Hallelujah.
He said, let us repent. He said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I come into it. I sup with him. He said, I sup with him and he with me. I want to tell you what God's doing. Knocking on our heart's door. He said, open up to me. I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. And he said, we can fellowship with him. We sure can. I want to tell you what set us on fire. Fellowshipping with him. Seeing him who's invisible. What will set us on fire, let us be on fire for God and do away with all the lukewarmness, will be this. Fellowshipping, supping with him, and our blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you like to sit around and fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord? I do. But I'll tell you what. Through it all, in it all, we need to fellowship with our blessed Lord. He says, he that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also the king and sent out of my father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Folks, it's not me saying it this morning. It's the Spirit of God. He booed. This is the Lord's words. By the Spirit of God, he's saying to us this morning. He said, take heed. He said, give an ear to it. Don't let it go over here and come out there. Let's let it lodge in our hearts. And say, Lord, I want to be a flaming fire for you. Hallelujah. Did you know, not only some of the martyrs were on fire for God, but you know, they literally was on fire. They burned at stake for their cause for Christ. But you know why? Because they wouldn't deny Christ. And you know what? I read where somebody said, you know what? Those deaths weren't in vain either. Because they were many, they said they were many souls changed because they said they were actually burning light for their testimony. They gave their lives for the cause of Christ. I want to tell you something. We better be a burning light now before the time comes in America that we had to give our own lives for a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awful what happened yonder a few days ago in Texas in that church, wasn't it? No pity shown. Not even the almost babies. Half of them children, somebody said. Nothing. That's the day and hour we live in. Folks, I want to tell you something. We're going to have the fire of God on us, burning in us to stand in this hour. God, help us to do so. Help us to do it. For Jesus' sake and for his glory. Hallelujah. May God richly bless the word to our hearts this morning. I'll ask one simple question. Do you want to be a fire for God? Do you want to be on fire for him? Do you want to be? Amen. Praise God. Listen. Let's don't be among the lukewarm Christians any longer. Let's get on fire for God. Hallelujah. You pray for your preacher. Pray for me, your pastor. God has sent me aflame. Burning light in a dark world. Hallelujah. Do you know it? Are you on fire for God? Are we lukewarm? Are we burning for him? Are we hot for him? Are we lukewarm for him?
are we cold for him? You say, well, I'm lukewarm. That's better than cold. That ain't what he said. You say, why is that, preacher? I'll tell you why. If you're just cold, not professing anything, not claiming anything, well then, that's why he said he'd rather you be that way than to be lukewarm. Because when you're lukewarm, people's watching us. They say, well, if that's Christianity, I want none of that. Isn't that right, Brother Donnie? Yeah, I believe that's what he's saying. That's why he wants us to be a flame for him. He wants to be a burning light and on fire for him. I want to tell you something. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I can't be that way. You can. If you notice, he wrote that to the angel of the church. Not only do we have an angel outside, but I'll tell you who God's writing it to. That word there. He's writing it to us. He's writing to us pastors. He's not just writing it to the members. He's saying it to all of us. But you know, all of us have a guardian angel. Thank God for that. But God's writing a letter to us. He didn't just write it to them. He said, we included in it now. He left it for us. And you know what? I won't be one of them overcomers, don't you? Do you know, I got to reading that again. I got to reading all them letters. And you know what it said there, one of them? What did he say, Brother Donnie? Him that overcometh. Something special for him. God's got something special for you. You know what he said? As I overcame. And you know why we can overcome everything? Because he overcame it. Don't ever forget that. You can overcome every obstacle. You can overcome every disappointment. You can come over every sad thing you go through with. You can overcome it all. You can overcome losing the one dearest to you. You can overcome losing a child. You can overcome losing whatever you may lose in this world. You know why? He overcame. He sat down with his father, his throne. He said, him that overcometh, you're sitting with me. And he said, another place, you be eat on that tree of life. I challenge you to go read all of us. I won't take time this morning. Read all of them. Every one of those churches, he said, him that overcometh. Special thing for him. My Lord loves us so much, he's willing to come down here and overcome, that we will become overcomers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. He loves us. He sat down because he overcame. And we can overcome. In an hour like this. Listen, we're living in the Laodicean church age. When it's coldness and deadness and dryness, I know that. But thank God, we can be on fire for God still. Because he overcame. You can overcome it. Thank God we can overcome this coldness and dryness and deadness. If we'll pray and trust him. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise God. So I want you to know before we leave here this morning, we don't have to be lukewarm. But he told us, be zealous. You know why? You know why God chastens us? Number one, I was talking to somebody this other day. He chastens us because he loves us. Another thing, reason he chastises is because that we won't be condemned with the world. Thank God he didn't leave me to myself after I got saved. And he still hadn't left me to myself. He still loves me. He still corrects me. He still chastens me. It's because he loves me. And he don't want me to be condemned with the world. Hallelujah. Stand with me.